Now, in recent years, choirs have been given a new lease of life. The likes of Gareth Malone has made the formation of choirs one of the latest big TV projects. And as a result, there have been many new choirs gotten together, both up and down the country. Dorothy Oliver is visually impaired. She loves singing, but she hasn't always had some great experiences with choirs. She joins us now to tell us her story. Dorothy, very many thanks indeed for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. Can I begin by asking you really what the state of your vision is, please?
I had too much oxygen from birth, and I've also got glaucoma. I have a little vision in one eye, mostly bright colours. I love reds and blues and nice bright colours that I can see quite well.
How does it affect you in day-to-day life?
Yes, I use sight that I've got, which is, as I say, not very much at all. I have got to say, though, because I can see bright colours, if I see something red in the shop and I think, oh, that's something nice and bright hanging up, I have been known to put my hand out and kind of touch it and find out it's not hanging up. It is hanging on a body. So my friend will say, keep away from there a minute, or she'll have an idea, son, is what I'm going to do, but no, let's just get over here out of the way. We have a bit of a laugh about that, really.
Yeah, of course, I can understand that. It certainly sounds as if you've had a bit of a laugh in a few shops in the past.
Yes.
In day-to-day life, then, you've always had an interest in music and in singing. How have you followed that over the years?
I've enjoyed singing. When I was at school, I had singing lessons, and I used to be sent in to put into the musical festivals, which I didn't like because you were judged. And then I left school and I joined one or two choirs, but nothing very interesting happened until in 2015 when I joined Southampton Choral Society, which I'm very happy to be a part of.
Okay, so that was in 2015, previously with choirs when you'd gone there, Dorothy, and obviously you're attending as a new person. You know, you've got to prove yourself, if you like, as a singer as well in front of them. Did you find that the problems with your vision gave you any other kind of problems?
I had a choir previously in another part of the country while I was at college. I went with a friend for an audition for a very big choir. I got through the audition and was told that you've got a very nice voice, but we don't think you're suitable for the choir. This was strange to me because I had previously been in choirs for short periods of time, being at college and one thing and another. So the tutor tackled them and they said, oh, well, we cannot have a blind person in the choir because, well, we've got John Rutter coming to do a concert and she might come in at the wrong time. That at the time was very difficult for me, but I'm very, very happy to say, now, when I went to this choir, I met the conductor. I'm not given any preferential treatment as a choir member. I have to have an audition the same as anyone else. But they've very helped getting me the music into Braille. I get a lot of the words from Heather, who works at RNIB Braille Library. If she hasn't got it, they'll get it transcribed for me. And our membership secretary, Rosaline, types everything out that I need to have and we get that transcribed into Braille.
So it's a team effort that actually helps you to sing with your current choir. Before we find out a little bit more detail about that, just going back to your previous experience, how did you feel at the time, Dorothy, for something like that?
I felt really let down. I felt that I wasn't given the chance that I should have been, because the choir I'm in now, yes, it's a big choir, there's 120 of us. But I just felt, and my friend that had gone with me, she felt terrible because she was in the choir. And I said, oh, please, it's not your fault. You mustn't feel responsible for what has happened to me. I did contact RNIB campaigns who were going to take up my case. But because I was only going to be another term at the college, I said, look, I don't think it's going to work for me because I don't want an atmosphere. But had I stayed in the area, I still don't think I would have pursued that particular choir.
As you say, it's the kind of thing that, yes, maybe you could get a campaign going. You could certainly fight your corner. I've no doubt that you would probably win as well. But do you think as well it is the kind of thing that would have created a little bit of a barrier between yourself and the conductor and maybe the other choir members as well?
I don't even know if it was the conductor, who it was. It was certainly a committee decision. But I felt that would they have taken me on because I had won the case and they had to, and I felt, actually, I don't really know that this is worth it. Before I went for the audition for this choir, I was quite nervous because I thought, oh my goodness me, this is a big choir, how am I going to get on? But actually, you know, yes, it did knock my confidence, but having what is happening to me now and the experience that I'm having, I must say, I would urge anyone who has had a bad experience like me, don't let that put you off, because there's always another time. There's lots of people out there who are willing to give you a chance.
You have met up now with another group of people who were willing to give you a chance. It all happened in 2015 when you joined this new choir. So again, just tell us the story about that.
When I used to live in Southampton, because I know I live in Salisbury, one of my neighbours was in a choir in her church for Christmas, and she said, would I like to come and help? Oh, all right, then. I says, well, will the conductor be all right with having me, because I can't read print? Oh, no, that's all right. I went along, met someone who was in the big choir. I said, I would love to be in a big choir. She said, leave it with me, I'll see what I can do. I got an email from her to say, you have to come to choir with me on the first Monday of January the 15th, meet the conductor. And as soon as I met the conductor, I knew I was going to be all right. He asked me what music I had done before, and I told him, and he was impressed with my musical ability, impressed with me as a person, because he puts the person first, not about what might be your disability or what might be other things that are outside the choir. He says that a person's a person, and he wants to give as much chance as he can. If you can sing and get through the audition, that's what he's interested in. And obviously, you have to go to practices and do the work at home.
And what an amazing difference in, you know, acceptance immediately, because nobody was really paying any attention to the visual impairment that you had. It was all about your voice. It was all about what have you done before? What can you bring to this choir, instead of what problems would you maybe bring to this choir?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a concert in October, and I am not able to get everything into Braille. That's through no one's fault, but there's a lot of music. And I said to my conductor, if I really want to do it, can I just la 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 the one of pieces I can't get into Braille? And he said, yeah, you can la 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 as much as you like. So it's about a reasonable adjustment, you know, about yes, I can get, but I don't want Rosaline to have to type 16 pieces of words into Braille. It's too much.
Yeah.
So we're prepared to make a compromise, because most of the time, yes, I do get the music. And we have a break, and I go for a cup of tea, and I go up and get my own tea, and they help me get my tea, and I don't sit down. I just stand amongst everyone else. I'm not given preferential treatment with the seating plan. I'm seated. The first time I was put in the front row, because obviously they didn't know me, because they didn't know how I'd manage steps, because obviously I was new to the choir. But now there's no difference. I'm just put the same as anyone else. We're the best places to seat me for the concert.
And as you say, Dorothy, there's been a lot of help from the likes of RNIB in getting you to this position.
Yeah, Heather, RNIB Library has been excellent. If she's not able to, if they don't have the work in Braille, she will have it transcribed into Braille for me. Rosalina emails Heather with all the words, and Heather gets them done, sends them to me, and that's it. So she's been really, really good in that. So Heather and my conductor and the people in the choir have been excellent.
Let me finish then, Dorothy, by asking you one final question. What does being in a choir mean to you? What does it actually do for you in your life?
It's very uplifting being part of a group. And on a Monday, Sundays I think, oh, I've got to make that journey from Salisbury to choir. You know, I've got to get the train. But once I'm there and I'm in the door, I feel it's been worth it. And you're singing the music, and it's so uplifting to hear 120 voices singing. We've done things like Mozart Requiem, the Fauré Requiem. We've just done piece by Rossini, even all the Christmas music when we have the band. And it's really good to hear all the singing, and it's electric.
And when does your concert, where and when does it actually take place?
Our next concert is in St James Church, West End, Southampton, on the 28th of October.
Well, we wish you well for that, and we wish you well for the future. Dorothy Oliver, thank you very much for sharing your story with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
And thank you for giving me the chance to do this. because if there's someone out there that is interested, please don't be afraid, just go